right, good morning, good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. And we're excited that today is the choir's last Sunday for a little bit of break that they have, about 6 weeks off. And I know there's going to be moaning and groaning in the choir. They're going to miss it. No, they're going to enjoy the break a little bit. But we're so thankful for the ministry of the choir and truly the heart of the music ministry here at IBC. But we're going to go ahead and take our songbooks this morning. Let's turn to 116 and let's stand together as we sing, "This Is My Father's World," this Father's Day. "This Is My Father's World," 116, our Heavenly Father, 116.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the sphere. This is my Father's world, I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, fist and the wanderer's rod. This is my Father's world, all the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear Him best, He sees through me everywhere.
On the last,
this is my Father's world, oh, let me never forget that the love of God seems all so strong. God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who dies, shall be satisfied.
Amen, amen. Let me welcome you to our morning worship service. So glad to have you here. Today is Super Sunday School Sunday, or already was, all right. We're glad to have you here for our Sunday School Hour. We're looking to emphasize the Sunday School Hour. If you weren't able to be with us today, we'd love to have you next Sunday morning. Sunday School starts at 9:15. We do have several visiting with us. We're glad to have you here. We have a gentleman who's with us in the Sunday School Hour. We've got some former members back here that are now down in North Carolina. They wanted to come up for North Carolina Heat next this week, all right. But good to have them back here. Got a chance to meet them. And there may be some others that are sprinkled about that I have not noticed. Some of you have been with us before, but maybe we still consider you a visitor. Thank you for being here today in the Lord's house on this Father's Day. You know, as we were singing that first song, "This Is My Father's World," I want to say this. It's God's desire that everyone here today, everyone in the world, everyone watching and listening, becomes one of His children. And that He becomes our Father, not just by creation and that He created all of us, but rather by birth. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And for those who have received the gift of salvation, because you are sons or daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father, therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son." Now, the Bible says that when we enter into that personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and by the way, it is a blood relationship, isn't it? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He becomes our Father, Abba, literally daddy in the Hebrew. It's like daddy. He becomes our Father, and we become a son or daughter of His, and that's a permanent relationship. If you're here today watching and have never trusted Christ, receive the free gift and become one of God's children so that you can call Him Father. I pray you would do that today. Even as the choir sings, invite Him into your heart for salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and after that you may have a seat. Father, we thank You. What a privilege to be here today on this Sunday, the Lord's Day, and an extra blessing on Father's Day. Lord, whether we have an earthly father living or not, whether our earthly father was saved or in our home, Lord, as a person, everybody can have a father, God the Father. In fact, the Bible makes clear reference, Lord, that when we trust you as Savior and enter into that relationship with you through your Son, we become a son, a daughter, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You become our Abba Father. Lord, that's an everlasting, permanent relationship. Our prayer is that each person here today, those that may be watching by live stream, Lord, has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, for salvation, and received eternal life so that we can call you Father. Lord, we're grateful to be here today to gather together as your children, to obey you as our Father and assemble together, Lord, to preach the Word of God, to worship, to lift up our voices in praise. Now, Lord, we do thank you for the choir. We thank you for the pianist, the organist, those that are part of that ministry, that practice, those that are part of the music ministry here, special music and offertories. We thank you for Brother Shane, Lord, who leads the music so well, and those also who fill in. Lord, I pray now as we hear the choir sing, our hearts would be prepared to receive the Word of God. Draw our attention to you, Lord, and we love you even more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Just before the choir sings, I'd like to read just a short passage of scripture that goes along with the song they'll be singing. We give few glimpses into what heaven looks like and what heaven sounds like. Please listen carefully as I read Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Holy is he.
Thank you, choir. At this time, we'll take our hymn books and turn to 417. Let's stand as we sing Faith of Our Fathers, 417. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. I sing the mighty power of God. We're going to take our songbooks one last time. I'm going to turn to 38, familiar, beloved hymn, How Great Thou Art. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth stanza. Let's stand one more time as we sing How Great Thou Art, hymn number 38, first, third, and fourth stanza.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe is played. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. On the last, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Wonderful singing. Thank you. You may be seated. Just before the message, we have special music.
In his love. All right, before we have you turn to any book of the Bible there, I'm going to read just the two quick quotes that are short quotes that are in the bulletin. You may have glanced at them, you may not. Quote from Evangelist D.L. Moody, a man ought to live so that everyone knows he's a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know. Sometimes the hardest place to live out the truths of the Bible are in our home, in our own walls. That can be a challenge. Charles Spurgeon said, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure that you go that way yourself. Sometimes it's easy to tell the kids what to do, and yet we don't often live that truth. So may the Lord help me as a father and as the pastor of this church to rightly divide the Word of God, to live exactly what God says. And so this morning, we'll be in 1 Thessalonians if you want to find your place. That's in the New Testament, probably toward the back of your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. If you'd like to borrow one of our pew Bibles, that's fine. Grab that. You'll be very much toward the back in there. And you want to turn to page 1662 if you're using a pew Bible. Page 1662. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll not tell you exactly what verses we're going to read, and I'll just ask you to look up here. I'll get to that in a little bit, but I want, by way of introduction, I want to just say a few things here this morning. I want to use as a verse this morning to start off. I don't want you really to turn there, just to listen. Some of you have memorized this. It's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, it's the only time in the Bible the word success is used. Yes, at the time, that was God speaking to Joshua as the leader of Israel. There were only probably a few books of the Bible maybe even written out, certainly the first five, perhaps Job, we don't know. But we can apply that verse to all of us today. We have the complete scriptures. We have the whole Bible. We have the living Word of God. And I try to remind myself always before I stand behind the pulpit, especially on the Lord's Day among God's people, that I'm opening the Word of God. The living, breathing Word of God. It's quick and it's powerful. It's for all people at all times. No matter where or what or how, it is the Word of God. The Bible says that if we will read, heed, study, meditate, memorize, and live it, God's Word says, either God's a liar or He's not, He's true or not, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I would think every parent, every father desires, I hope, to be a successful father as based on the Bible. Therefore, God has told us all of that. And so this morning, I want to remind everybody, I know we know this, that the manual, the guidebook, the standard for all living, but especially fatherhood, is this book. We give books out, and books are helpful, and I hope you have some books, and you need to be reading those books. Anybody who says that you don't need anything other than the Bible is not entirely accurate, necessarily. Yes, that's true, but yes, it's not. I remind you of Paul when he said, bring the books, especially the parchments, but bring the books. All right? There are certainly helpful things God has given us men and women that we can learn from. And so books are good, but that ought not to be the only thing we read. Books on parenting, books on parenting. Right here is the book. The guidebook, all anyone needs for anything in life, especially parenting and marriage and child rearing and such. And every parent, and I know today I'm speaking to the fathers, but obviously the application can be broader. Maybe speaking to someone that's a single parent today, and you think, I just can't do it. Widows, my husband, it's tough. Broken homes, you can do it. We're just saying how great thou art. Either God's great and mighty or He's not. Either He can help you or He can't. Either His Word is sufficient or it's not. And if you believe that He's great and you saying it, then we need to trust Him with the things you and I think that we can't do. And so as parents and as fathers, we don't say we can do it or not based on culture or the government or officials or institutions or colleges or books or even how you were raised, which is how many people do parenting. Or they might say, my father wasn't involved. My father died. My father wasn't in the home. My father was a good father except for this or when he was around. And we sometimes use that as a reason why we can't be a godly parent or father or wife. But that's not true. We have the Word of God. The Word of God is sufficient. So even if you're here today and your father is dead, or your father was not a part of your life in any way, or your father wasn't saved, or your father was truthfully a horrible father, or he was saved but didn't really live by the Bible, I wanted to let you know that every man, every husband, every dad can be a great father. You can even be a godly father. You can be an exceptional father. You can be a biblical father and example. You say, oh, how's that possible? Right here. I don't need to say anything else. Right here, the Bible. So if you use excuses, as we all do, about why you can't or you haven't been or you're not able to be, it's time to, as the Lord would say to a lame person, throw down those crutches. Stop leaning on those. Stand. I can't. Stand. You can do it. I'm here. The Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You can do it. And so today, yes, my thrust of the message will be to our men and our fathers, but for all of our young men, our married men, our fathers, our grandfathers, our aged men, I want to encourage you as I need to encourage myself. You and I need to get in this book. Last week, how much were you in this book? Last month, this year, get in this book. Stay in this book. That's the harder part, right? Stay in the book. Study the book. Meditate. Memorize it. Live it daily. Look up every verse and passage that says Father. If you've never done that and you're a father, you're behind the eight ball. Get going. Look up every verse that says husband or has to do with men. If you haven't done that, you're behind already. Make up it. You can make that up. You can catch up. There's no reason you shouldn't say that's the number one thrust. If I'm a dad, I'm a father, and God says it, I need to look up every one of those. I mean, that would be foolish to not look up every one of those. If God's word's sufficient and he put it in there and I've chosen to not look those up, then that's, I'm behind. I need to change that. I need to study those verses. I need to pour on those things. I need to specialize on those verses. I need to memorize those. I need to practice those. And you know what, dads? If we fail, and we're going to fail, start again. If you fall, and we're going to fall, then get back up. If you're going to quit, and there's going to be those quitting times, I like what I heard an old preacher say, everybody in the ministry needs to learn how to endure the quitting times. Oh, how many times, I'm just done with this, I'm going to quit. You've got to learn to endure those and get through the quitting times and say, no, that's not what God wants. No, that's not, I know I want to quit, and I like to just say, but nope, I got to get through the quitting times. I just can't, you got to get through those and say, nope, what does God want? You got to stay on your knees, dads. You got to humble yourself. You got to remove that pride. Got to learn to honor God and put him first in all you do, because his word says, you honor me, I'll honor you. And God keeps his word always. So I want to let everybody know here today that you can, especially our men, you can be a great father. Great's defined by the Bible, not me or culture. You can be a great father. You can be a biblical father. You can be a godly father. It is not too late. I don't have any kids in the home. It is not too late. My kids are grown. They're on their own. It is not too late. Joshua 1:8, it's either true or it's not. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. There's the key. We'd like to take the end and take the prosperous, successful. Wait a minute. Thou do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, that's our backdrop. That's our foundation. Let's get busy. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 is where you're parked, I hope, ready to go. Some of you have got notes ready to go. Now, again, I love people that take notes. It doesn't mean you're any better than anybody else. That's a good thing. But taking notes can be a crutch, too. If the head's down the entire message, I always worry about that. I always worried about that with my teens when I was a youth pastor. The head should never always be down. All right. Now, you take notes, anybody, right? Parents, do you want your kids to look at you when you talk to them? You want them to communicate? Absolutely. And so if the head's down all the time, that's usually not a great thing. And I know you don't have to always be looking, right? But you want to be engaged in the message, watching, listening, praying, taking notes, doing a great job. If not, your mind will wander very quickly, and all the zeros will be filled in with little circles and smiley faces and all of those things that get us off track, many of us, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. My title of my message comes from this passage of Scripture we're going to read. My title this morning is, As a Father. As a Father. I'm teaching through the life of the Apostle Paul in Sunday school. If you were here in Sunday school this morning, we looked at Paul and his many sons in the faith. He didn't have any sons that we know of biologically, but he had many sons in the faith spiritually, and how he poured himself into young men and others. And as I was doing some of that preparation, boy, the Lord just, I came across this, and the Lord really seared it upon my heart. And so I'm going to be preaching on that today, as a father. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Again, this is a letter written from the Apostle Paul to a local church, the church at the city of Thessalonica. They were called Thessalonians. This is an amazing little book. There's actually two letters here, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Because if you go back to the book of Acts, we only have record of him being in Thessalonica for a couple weeks. It says he was only there at least, he may have been there a month, that's it. Never been there before. He's there for about a month, preaching and teaching. People receive Christ. He gets run out of town, and there's no record necessarily that he ever really went back. And yet a church was planted in that brief amount of time. And that church flourished and grew. And he writes these letters to the church as a father to his children, answering questions, encouraging, counseling, dealing with false teaching. And here we're going to read a small portion of that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, we're going to pick it up in verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to read 3-4 verses. Verse number 9. So keep in mind, he's writing to brethren, people that received the message of the gospel, were saved, that are now his brothers and sisters in Christ. He calls them brethren. Verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamely we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Here's the key verse, verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Verse 12 is our last verse. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Boy, you really see the heart of the Apostle Paul for this flock, as you see in almost all of his letters. He says in verse number 11, and that's the title of a message, as a father doth his children. Now let's remember, these are the words of the Lord, not Paul. Yes, Paul wrote those, Paul spoke those, but every word of God is breathed out. We are reading the very words of Scripture. So if God Almighty wants to put in the Bible a little verse that deals with how a father is to be with his children, that's a verse that I want to read, especially as a father. I mean, God put that in here. He said that there's some things that a father, it should be second nature that a father does this with his children. Well, then that's a verse that as a father, I say, whoa, then I'm going to pay particular attention to this as God gives some instruction on what it means to be a father. So today's message title is, As a Father. We'll primarily be right here. We may look at one other brief passage that says, As a Father. We'll see if we get to that. Many of you know that today there's an epidemic. It's not a new epidemic. It's called absent fathers. You can read the statistics. It gets quite sad. Absent fathers. Fathers who begat children but are not in their lives in any way. May not have even married the mother. They're called absentee. Sometimes we call them deadbeat dads. They don't want the responsibility. They begat the child, but that, boom. And they're not in their lives in any way. Now, sometimes we understand. We're not talking about fathers who passed away. So that's an epidemic. It's said that 90 to 95%, depending on what you read, maybe even 99% of all men in prison have a strained or no relationship with their fathers. The number one cause. You see many interviews on TV with well-known athletes. 90 to 100%, not but that 90% of the thanks and admiration usually goes to a mother or a grandmother who raised them. And the few times you see the father there, usually that young man, whether he's saved or not, is somewhat sound. And you're like, wow, praise the Lord for that. You see that epidemic? Can I say there's an epidemic and has been for many years in many of our churches? And that's called spiritual absent parents, spiritually absent dads. Dad's there. He's part of the home. He's in the family. And by the world's definition, he's a good dad. You can look at all the social media today. You're going to see a lot of good dads. And I don't doubt that. But let me just say, the word good is used a lot of different ways. It's a good dad. I love my dad. And we praise the Lord for that. Not necessarily what God would say is a good dad, but hey, a good dad, he played with me, he did all this kind of stuff. And we spend a lot of time as dads, and that's to our shame. I mean, you think about the miracle of birth. That child is born, conceived, born then physically into this world out of the womb. And that's why it's light, noise. I mean, it's a whole new world, isn't it? I mean, he's been in the comfort of his mother's womb for the most part. And now, whoa, I mean, there's noises and lights and things, and it's a baby, and that baby can't do a thing. And God established parents, male and female, husbands and wives, instituted the family to raise and train that child for the glory of God. Malachi says to raise godly seed. But how? It's not easy. They're a sinner. Bible says they were conceived in iniquity. Dad was a sinner and mom was a sinner. And the seed mingled and now we have another sinner. And the Bible says that they're born with foolishness, bound in their heart. Pride, already bound in their DNA. Selfishness, bound in it. Whoa. And if nothing changes their whole life, they will never go to heaven. Whoa. So the parent's greatest job and greatest need is to raise that child or children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Never sparing one moment, if at all possible, as the Bible uses those words. Teach them diligently. Look at the emphasis. Train up a child in the way he should go. Whoa, I mean, we need to take those words literally and understand how they're going to be bent to the selfish and proud way, and they're not going to want to hear those things. And authority. Ugh. And boy, that's the role. Now think about it. When they're born, they don't know anything. The parents teach them everything. And when they grow up, they inherit those things, right? Favorite meals and foods and sense of humor and places you go. Favorite teams. Think about that. They don't have a favorite baseball team when they're born. They don't have a favorite football team. They don't have a favorite sport. They don't know any of that stuff. But we train them in those things. And many of us do a great job at that. And this, I don't think that's wrong. But we spend a lot of time getting them, hey, they're that team for life. That has no spiritual impact whatsoever. How did you get them how did you get them to root for your team? How come they're diehards? How come, I don't know. That's a good question. How do they learn to love that hobby? How do they learn to do it? I know friends and other people impact that, but a lot of that comes from parenting. And it doesn't mean those things are sinful and wrong. But we spend a lot of time saying these things are important and we're going to raise this guy, this girl. God said, oh, where's that passion for the things of God? Where's the passion to raise this little one for the glory of God? That's what's going to make the difference. And so here as we open the Bible and we're in Thessalonians, and there are many scriptures we can look at this morning. We won't get that far. When the Bible says, as a father doth his children, that's important. You don't have to be a father. You can apply these truths to mothers, but there are particular verses in the Bible where God specifically says fathers. And so that's something all fathers should take great note of. Let's just look at a few truths right here in this little passage. What does it mean here, as a father? As a father. Well, there's a couple things you can see here that has to do with parenting, but especially fatherhood. Did you see what he said in verse number 9? Now again, this is Paul, as a spiritual father, writing to his large family. He calls them brethren. He birthed that church. There was no church at Thessalonica. As far as we know, there wasn't even one person saved. And him and some other companions go to that city. You can read about that in Acts. And it says that Paul's making tents and laboring and getting in conversations in the marketplace. And he goes to the synagogue because there was a Jewish synagogue there. And he is weekly and daily sharing Christ, the Messiah, with the Jews, preaching Christ, winning people to Christ. And a little group of believers, a little flock, is birthed. And from that little church, a little group of people becomes a little church, the church at Thessalonica. And he's not there long. He doesn't look like he ever really returns as far as we know. But God did a work there, and there were some sound people there, and that church flourished. Read 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And now he's writing to them as a father to his children. He's checking up on them like a father should do. He's going to rebuke them if some areas are going astray, like a father should do. He's going to encourage them when they're down, like a father should do. He's going to remind them of what they did and as a father should do. And so we're reading that in the context, but we're going to apply it to earthly parenting. Look at verse number 9. You know, fatherhood, being a father is hard work. If you're taking notes, isn't it? It's hard work. Well, look what he says here about being a spiritual father, verse 9. He says, ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Now that sounds like a woman, doesn't it? That's what Miss Jessica's anticipating. I don't know if that's the word. It's like, oh, labor and travail. Oh, those are the same words, but it's used here in the context of the church, and we're going to apply them to the father. Even though the father might say, oh, that was easy. Yeah, all you were there is, you didn't go through it. But Paul's saying that same labor and travail was what it was like birthing the church. You remember, we poured ourselves into this. He's using those words. Those two words literally mean toil. Weariness, painful effort, he's saying. He said, you remember what we did? It was difficult. And he says it was day and night. It wasn't just a little 1 hour. It was constant. I mean, we poured ourselves. There was persecution. We got run out of town. There were threats. Can I say something? Parenting, fatherhood is hard work. It should be labor and travail. It shouldn't be easy necessarily. And that's all the time, by the way. Sometimes we think, well, when you get them to a certain age, and I know maybe there is that little sometimes age, and we'll have different parents have different reactions, so no, yeah, all right. Or maybe, hey, those were good. They finally got them through the terrible twos, or we got them through this, and that was pleasant, and daddy was their hero, and mom could do nothing wrong, and they loved to be with us, and we had a great time as a family, hugging and kissing, but then they got to, oh, my goodness, preteen, and oh, my word, teenagers, you know, different. Oh, you think that was hard. When they start thinking they could do whatever they wanted to do, and, you know, whatever. You're like, oh, labor and travail. Not easy. Doesn't stop. Doesn't stop when they're out of the home. It's all the time. Can I ask you, fathers, how much effort, how much labor and travail are you putting in to draw your children to the Lord? I speak this to myself. I love seeing dads outside with kids. You just don't see it much anymore. I do. I almost like to stop if I see a dad and son are throwing ball, shooting hoops. You just don't see it. You know? The TV, the video game, everything's replaced that. Long hours, hot. I enjoy seeing it. I like seeing people in the backyard. It's great. But there's things more important than all of that. You might be a great dad in the eyes of the world. You may spend tons of time with them, and that is awesome, and God wants you to do that. But God always puts the emphasis on the spiritual. The spiritual. How much labor and travail, dads, hard work are you putting in to training your children for the Lord? It's not easy. They're not going to just accept it all. They're not going to want to necessarily come to church. They're not going to want to sit. They're not going to want to have family devotions. They're not going to have to memorize a verse. They're not going to want to have to be taught the things of God about forgiveness and honesty and dependability. Foolishness is bound. Now look, you either believe those verses or you don't. Those are either key verses that apply to all children or you're the exception and God didn't know about it. God said that foolishness is built into young people and children. They are born sinners, and you might say, well, mine was a compliant child, or they were easy going. And the other one was hard, you know, strong will. Everybody has a strong will, shown different ways. But God says it's going to take parents, dads, it's going to take hard work. It's going to be difficult. You've got to designate the time or it'll never happen. You have to designate the time or it'll never happen. Parenting is hard work. Being a father is hard work. How much effort, dads, are you putting in? How much labor and travail to train your children? Perhaps now it's grandchildren when you have the opportunity. Secondly, it's not only hard work. Notice verse number 10. You have to be a walking example. Paul says, ye are witnesses. I'm not just making this up. Go ahead, right now. Everybody here, you witnessed it. Tell me if I'm telling the truth or not. And he even says, not only that, so's God. And I'm willing to go with God's account. He knows our hearts. He knows what we did. He knows our love for you. You are witnesses in God how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Now, I want you to think of that. You might think it's hard to be an example to your kids. That is hard because they love to imitate, don't they? But let's consider here birthing a church family. And these people are all coming to Jesus Christ, and all they know is what you're telling them. Whoa, you don't talk about pressure. You are the example. They're watching and listening to everything you do all day. Paul says, whoa, you're our witnesses. We took our responsibility very extreme. God is our witness. We were holy and just and unblameable. Unblameable, wow. Before the Lord, as an example of what you need to be. That's what dads need to be. Moms need to be. Parents, walking examples. Because we all know that children are great imitators. Wow, where'd they learn that cuss word? I was reading a statistic that most young people, it's interesting, teens learn to drink not from their friends, as we often say, but actually from their parents. We like to throw out statistics that aren't always true. You know, well, their buddies get them in. Where are their buddies getting at? Their parents drink. There's booze in the home. Well, mom and dad drink. How can that be wrong? Mom and dad do this, do this, do this. I mean, hey, and when we're young, a lot of times that's cute, right? Oh, guess what? We got our little boy. Now, we didn't have any sons, so we didn't get many of these, all right? I tried a few times to get them matchboxes, Hot Wheels, cars, dump trucks, and little guns, but they didn't last too long, all right? The dolls and things went out for the most part, all right? But, daddy's mowing. Daddy, I got a little Home Depot mower. I love the Home Depot chainsaw. Isn't that awesome? All right, boys can walk around chainsaw. That's cool. I never got my girls one of those, all right? So I want to be like, daddy, look, I want to do all the stuff, daddy. Oh, hey, look, daddy's shaving. You get the picture of the little boy in there. Oh, yeah, I want to be just like daddy. Or mommy's baking. I got my little apron. We say, oh, that's so awesome. That's great. Because when they're young, they imitate by sight normally and by just watching everything you do by example. But I want you to understand, as they get older, they still imitate by action, but it changes a lot. It's by modeling, teaching, and training. When they're young, I do this, they do it. They want to be like daddy. They want to be like mom. All right? But as they get a little bit older and independent now, you still need to do the right thing, but you got to understand that's not all that training is now. Training as they get older, especially in those teen years, is by modeling, teaching, and training, almost like an apprentice. You tell them what to do. You show them what to do. You let them do it. If they fail, you show them again. I mean, it's time intensive. It's not easy. It's difficult. But we're walking example. Now, you say example of what? By the way, what was Paul's goal? And I should ask every dad here, what is your goal for your sons, your daughters, your children? Because if you don't have one, what's your goal? What do you have a purpose? Well, look at Paul's goal, verse 12, the same chapter, that ye, believers, the church, would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. There was an end goal. Everything the Apostle Paul did, he said, here's why we're doing this, that you would walk worthy of the Lord. Like the Apostle John in the epistles to the 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, I'll have no greater joy that my children walk in truth. That's the only goal I have as a parent. I don't care if you play sports. I don't care if you do this. It doesn't matter. Those things are not that important. I have no greater joy than my children. Okay, if your children are going to walk in truth, how are they going to do that? They're not going to get it from the world. How are they going to walk and model the truth? They're going to be watching dad, mom, grandma, grandpa. Want to see if it's real. Is dad the same at church as he is at home? Is mom the same when she's at church? Everybody sees her and she's smiling and she is in the car. Now we all have, and we're, no parent's perfect. No one here, we all lose temper, get mad, say wrong things. Everybody's done that. But they want to see if it's real. Do they really love God? Does dad and mom even read their Bible at home? It'd be interesting if you were to ask the little children. When you teach children, right? Well, watch out, right? Like the old game show, right? When you ask a kid say the darndest things. Ugh, those are hilarious, right? Like, you know, especially, I'm talking about the old ones, all right? Art Linkletter, those are the good ones. You know, what does your daddy do for work? Really, you know? And the kids say, hey, if the teacher today, because it's Father's Day, went around their little class and said, does your daddy love Jesus? What do you think your child would say today? And if they said yes, and your teacher said, "Well, that's awesome. Now, why do you say that, little girl?" "Well, because Daddy." "Well, because Daddy." That would be interesting. What would they say? "Does your daddy read?" Now, they're not going to do that, I don't think. But does your daddy read the Bible at home? Does your daddy ever read the Bible to you? Do you ever pray together as a family? Does your daddy ever teach you the Bible? Does your daddy ever sing with you? Now, that doesn't make anyone awful if you don't, but children would be able to say yes or no to those things. All right? They're going to know if it's important to go to church. And does Daddy love church? Does Mommy love church? Why is church important? Does Daddy, where are they going to learn about that stuff if not from Mom and Dad? You say, "Well, that's why there's a youth group." Okay, that's just a helper. "Well, that's why we put them in a Christian school." "Well, they're supposed to do all that." Well, no, not necessarily. A walking example. Let's look at the third thing here, and that's verse number 11, and this is the largest thrust of it all. Look at this verse. Dads, these three things are what you and I need to do constantly, and oh, how often I fail. As ye know how we, number one, exhorted, and number two, comforted, and number three, charged every one of you, just like a father should be doing with his children, is the wording. Wow. There's those three things. Wow. Dad, as a father, I have to look in the mirror. Maybe I used to do those things and I stopped. Maybe I do those things and I do it well. Maybe I don't do any of those things. But specifically, God points out three areas of a father's role with his children: exhortation, comfort, and charging them. Wow. And that is used in the context just like a father does to his children. It's almost like, and every father knows that. That's what we did as spiritual fathers for the church. We came along and we exhorted you and we comforted you and we charged you just like every father should do with their children. That's what God's saying here. So that makes me say, whoa. What are those three things? Am I doing those? Yes, it's hard work. Yes, it's tough to be a walking example. Yes, many times I have to say, son, daughter, children, family, wife, everybody, daddy needs to say something. Daddy blew it. I was proud, stubborn, mean, selfish, impatient. Forgive me. Please forgive, you know. They're watching. I mean, they're watching your attitudes, your actions, your words, your reactions. They listen to the things you don't think they hear. How you talk about authority and the government and whining and complaining. They hear about when you're sitting in the stands and yelling at every ref. That's our authority figures. Be careful one day when they turn on you. Remember, authority figure. How you talk about authority figures, you're their authority. If that's all, no big deal. If you break rules, the rule's not for us. Doesn't matter if it says no parking. We can do whatever we want to do. And when your kid does whatever they want to do, well, that doesn't apply to us. It applies to them. Don't worry about that. You know that. Hey, there. Criticizing this person. Gossip about this person. Slander this person. They're watching and soaking it all in. And they're forming their life opinions and philosophies from that. Doesn't mean it can't be changed. They're watching and listening and taking it in. What is it like? How's mom and dad get along? How about church members? Oh, you hear a lady talk about the church and the people outside of the church or in the car. They don't think we're listening. We heard them through the floor on their phones. We saw what daddy was watching. We sneak up. Daddy's never in his Bible. He's always, they may not say a word. Soaking it in, forming their life philosophies one day that they might say, "Hey, dad wasn't good enough for dad. I don't got to do it." But the Bible says here, as a father, his children. So the challenge, fathers, you and I, are we teachers and instructors? I know we often say, well, that's mom's job, and that is a great role of the mother. God made the mother and the father, and they're different, yet they're the same. And yet, wait a minute, the Bible says here for fathers, we are to exhort, we are to comfort, and we are to charge. Let me just tell you the difference here, and we'll wrap things up. What do these words really mean? Well, it's going to take time. It's not going to be easy. And again, different phases of life when the children, when they're really little, probably it's going to be mom almost all the time. Perhaps you're working and they're little, and they get a little bit older. And man, different phases they go through. It's interesting if you study the Jewish instructions, whether they still do it all today, I'm not sure, but in the times of Christ, when a son got to be a certain age as they were moving up and they didn't have the same education system we have with school in 12th grade, but when he got to a certain point, they basically were with dad for a whole year or two. That was it. I mean, not boom. Just shifts right to dad. dad the whole time. I know of a pastor or two, I've heard him say it, that once his sons got to a certain age, they were dad almost the whole year. You know, they pull him out, homeschool, dad, bam, boom, boom. But that's a lot of pressure on dad, I know. Right? They're going to model, they're going to follow, boom, because that's my role. Maybe that's between you and the Lord and what you believe your biblical role and conviction is. But there's no doubt that all fathers need to be teachers and instructors. And not just how to hit a ball, shoot a hoop, and all those things. And I'm thankful. My dad taught me a lot of that. And I'm grateful for it. And I loved it. And it was great. And spending time as part of that. And hiking and backpacking and changing oil and all those things, whatever your dad was like or whatever you're like. And teaching him how to fix it. That's great. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff. Do it. Spend time with your kids. We need that. But don't let that be the only time you're teaching and instructing. Primarily, let it be in the things of God. You can teach the things of God while you're doing all those things. It doesn't mean you have to take those things away. You can teach your kids about all kinds of things about God on hikes and God's creation and opening the Bible. I mean, that's Mr. Spiritual. What do you want your kids to be? You can teach them about work ethic and what it means to be athletics and character. You can do all that in the frame of the Bible if you're careful and you think through it and you do it the right way. Exhortation here means to call near. It's literally the same word as the Holy Spirit. Come, one called alongside of. It's to call near. It's to beseech. It's all the times Paul says, I beseech you, brethren. I'm strongly urging you. It says fathers are to do that with their children. We're to be exhorting them. We're to be entreating our children passionately to challenge them in the things of God. Can I ask you, dads, what are you instructing your children to do? If we asked your children or even your teens and they were willing to do it without being embarrassed, what's the three most important things to your dad? What do you think they'd say? It'd be scary. What are the three things most important to your dad that you think are? Well, I don't know. What would they say? We're to beseech our children, strongly urge them, at the same time being a living example, not just saying, you do what I tell you. Not what I do. No, we have to exhort the number two. Notice that word comfort. Now, we almost always associate that word with mothers, don't we? And it's true, moms and dads are not the same. And dads don't need to be the moms, and moms don't need to be dads. All right? And so, yes, when here Matthew's outside and he's trying to be a daredevil on a skateboard and all of a sudden he's old enough, he's not even going to tell him. It'll be a badge of courage, all right, to have gravel on his knee. Yeah. He may even take a picture, show buddies, all right? All right? But when you're younger, you're running, dad might be, mom's your agent. That was nothing, go see mom, all right, mom. You're okay. We think, well, that's mom's job to comfort. That's wimpy. No, but that word comfort here has two meanings. It has the idea of encouraging, consoling, and relating to. It has the idea of lifting up their spirits. There's two different meanings here. It's the encouragement of you can do it. It's okay. You didn't quit. God's okay. God can forgive you. And it has the second part of that has to do with a strong urging to now press on. Or let's do it together. True, you don't just tell the kid, everything will be okay, don't worry about it, life's not fair anyways, you'll learn. Comfort them, arm around them, cry with them, encourage them, I'll go with you, let's try it again. The idea is you're stirring them to wanting to do it again. Fathers, you're to exhort them, you're to comfort them. Colossians gives some additional scripture. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Oh boy. Oh boy. I think we all know that one, dads. God has that in their Bible for a reason. There's a reason in both Ephesians and Colossians that says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, provoke not your children to anger. There's a reason that's in there. I know it and you know it. Every dad knows it. Oh, it's so easy to do that. There's a reason God says, lest they become discouraged. Oh, that's in there for a reason. God doesn't waste words. That's especially for the dads. Oh, how prone I am to discourage them with a look. With, oh, okay, that's all you did? Back when I was, you crush your spirits, don't we? We've had it, many of you today, you can remember it when you were a kid. And it scarred you to this day. Oh, we're supposed to be comforters. We're supposed to lift up spirits, press on. It's okay. By the way, dads, one of the ways you do that is you share with your kids how you fail. Don't tell them about all the things you did great. Tell them about the times you messed up and blew it. Let them know you weren't perfect and you're not today. Let them know right now today as a dad, you struggle with anger. That you don't always do your devotions. That you a lot of times think that you don't always need God. That you can be critical. And you still battle thoughts. Let them know that you're not super dad and that all the adults in the room have everything together. They come to church. Because no one raises their hand or goes forward or confesses anything. I guess everybody's perfect when they're adults. I guess I must be the only one that struggles. And so they don't tell anybody anything. They keep it clammed up. We only just tell them all the mountaintop experiences, all the great times. They don't know that you struggle as well. You don't share that with them and how that God can forgive you. And they can see a little bit of a broken heart and how you struggle. How will you ever really comfort them and encourage them? Let them know that God the Father is merciful and giving. Number three, it says, we charged every one of you. We'll finish with this morning. What does that mean to charge? You know, that's the word martyr. That's where we get the English word martyr. What's a martyr? A martyr is literally a witness, a testifier. The word charge here means to testify, to be a witness, to give evidence to your children. You're to be a living, walking example as you charge them, love God, live for God, trust God with your money. Give, God's a giving God. We're going to be giving. Let me tell you why we're generous, because God's generous. Let me tell you why we're hospitable, because God's hospitable. Let me tell you why we're friendly with visitors and strangers, because that's how God is, based on the Bible. May not be how you were raised or how you want to be or are, but that's how God is, our Heavenly Father is. Let me tell you why we're thankful, because God is. Let me tell you what's important. Let me tell you what we can trust Him. And you're to charge your children, fathers. You're to bear evidence from your life. This is true. He can be trusted. He's faithful. He's merciful. He's a good, generous God. We're going to believe. Let me tell you where the Bible's real as they begin to question life and how do I know all this is real or not. God declares it. The Bible's true. Let me tell you why I believe the Bible. Let me tell you why church is so important and why we go. Well, because I always went as a kid. That's not why you go to church. Well, I always had to go. No, that's not going to help your kids. You have to have a conviction. They need to see that conviction, and then maybe it'll be their conviction. But not just because that's how you were raised. That doesn't mean you were raised right. You need to have a personal witness. Tell them about the past, tell them about the now, and tell them about the future. We know ultimately children will choose. But the Bible truths are still true. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's verse after verse after verse. I didn't get to the second part, but if you want to look at that phrase, as a father, you can go to Proverbs 3, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth or correcteth as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. That would be another huge area of being a dad. Discipline is always on the dad. It says just like God the Father disciplines his children, loving, as a father, the son. Wow, Hebrews talks about it as well. That's part of being a father. I mean, if God's our father and he chastens us, then I need to be like God. And if I don't chasten my children, then I'm not really a good father. And Proverbs is full of scriptures that deal with that. Wow. God's word is, the rod of correction. It falls primarily on the father to be the role of what discipline is. And that's part of all of this. Exhorting, comforting, and making chargeable. Not just, that was wrong, go to the rim. We've all probably done stuff like that. That's how my dad did it. But that's not biblical. It's not enough to just tell them what they did was wrong. What, do you know why this was wrong? Let's go to the Bible and find out why God said, why God hates lying. You're going to deal with that with all your kids. Lying, falsehood. Let's just look. Whoa, God is truth. God says it many times in Proverbs. He hates it. Let me tell you why he hates it. Let me tell you why it's so awful. Let me tell you why we punish that all the time here. Now, what should you have said when mom asked you about that? Okay. You've got it. I mean, that's not easy. I don't do good at that. I fail at that. That's teaching and training, though. Not just you did wrong. Punish you. Boom. Now you better learn your lesson. No, lest they get discouraged, prone to anger. I want to be what God's always like. I'm not going to go to him then. Can't trust God. Wow, God convicts you. Son, I'm sorry. I haven't been doing a good job. Dad's going to try to change. It's going to take a little while. I've been convicted from the Bible. Yeah, but that takes a long time. I want to watch the football game. Too bad. I was going golfing. Too bad. Cancel it. I got things going on. Train. That could take hours. Let's go for, I don't feel like their spirit is broken. Well, stay at it. I think they just faked it. So be it. Then you're the dad. You got to judge it. I got to train them. I got to understand. I got to make sure their will is broken, not their spirit. I got to let them know why we do this and why dad, why do we spank? That's so awful. My friends at school say you're terrible. Wow, what a teaching moment that is. What do you want to deal with? Friends, culture, the world, the Bible. Son, we have to believe God. Believe me, I don't want to do this. I'd rather not do this. But I'm going to be disobedient to God. I've got to do this. I've got to do it the right way. Son, I love you, but let me tell you what God has said. Whoa, teaching and training. And then afterwards you hug and there's forgiveness and there's love. And by the way, God's way is always best. I mean, there's nothing like dragging out punishment. I mean, nothing. I mean, God says, here's how you do it. Do it the right way. Boom, boom. It's over. It's forgiveness. It's a fresh start. It's done if done properly. None of this other stuff that half the time hangs on and parents say, well, I can't do that. You can do it. You should do it. You must do it. Or you don't believe God. Fathers, you've been called to a great task. I'm part of that task. Probably we fail more than we succeed. But if you believe the hymn, how great they are, God is greater than our mistakes. He is greater than our failures. He is greater than our flaws. He is greater than how we were raised. You either believe that or you don't. Even if you say, man, I mean, my kids are almost gone and I have done a horrible job. God is greater than your mistakes. That child's not yours anyways, is it? It's God's. He cares more. You just trust him. Say, God, we're going to do it from here on out. I trust you. You're bigger than my mistakes. You're bigger than my failures. You're bigger than all that I did wrong. I'm going to trust you, Lord. From here on out, we're going to do it your way, best we can. Oh, God, you can do it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. The purpose of reading and studying and meditating is to do it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. I take God at his word. He said to do this. I don't doubt him in any way. I begin to do it. By faith. Doesn't matter the outcome. I mean, I do it exactly what God says. It's never going to be overnight. Could be several years. All right? And I take God at his word. I do it by faith. It's been proven and tested that the number one influence on children, especially in their teen years, is dad. You say, well, there's no dad in the home. My husband... Bible says, I'll be the father to the fatherless and to the widows. God didn't leave you out. God didn't forget about you. Notice he said that. I will be the father to the fatherless. And I'll be for the widows. You can do it. Father is the number one key role. And by the way, it's been proven, and I'm glad to meet with any of our dads about this. The number one influence that helps change a young person's direction, especially as they get in the teen years, is the personal time spent with dad. Even if dad has to say, I'm canceling the work trip. I'm pulling my son out of school for a day. Can't do that. You do whatever you got to do to pour yourself into your kids for the glory of God. The more you dads begin to spend time with your children personally, individually, and you get God involved, you'll be amazed at the transformation. You stick with it for God's glory. Fathers, you can do it. I can do it. God's given us a book. Let's follow it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. So thankful for you being here today. Wonderful beginning of our service with music, the choir, tremendous songs that we sang. I appreciate your great attention. I could joke at this point, I'm going long because there's no choir practice, but that's not why. We start at 11:15, so this is actually one of my shorter messages. Teachers don't even know what to do if we get out too early. I want to ask you a question. I know the message was to our dads, and so dads, the main thrust of the message was to you, but this applies to everybody. Moms, soon, 5 years from now, you're going to be married, some of you. Could be a parent, you don't have no idea. All of us, as we saw in Sunday school, can be a spiritual parent. We can be a father or mother to other people in our church, our neighborhood, our cousins, our nephews. We can be a spiritual influence on them for the cause of Christ. So I want to ask you specifically, though, today, fathers, If there's any fathers here today that have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, fathers, you may be the nicest, kindest, most generous, hardworking dad there is, but you'll never be able to be the dad God wants you to be if you're not saved. You need to be born again. You need to make sure the number one thing you're doing is putting into your children God and His Word. Would you trust Christ today if you're here today and you're not saved? You may be so hardworking and you're a great dad and you love your kiddos, but you're not saved. You can't give them everything God wants you to give them. You can't assure they'll be in heaven one day with you. Maybe they're saved and you're not. Would you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Many men are very proud. Very, very proud. And it's hard to break that pride and admit that you need someone bigger than yourself. If you're here today as a dad or watching from home and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, as soon as you hear the music begin to play, would you swallow your pride perhaps? Maybe you have some questions. You could slip to the back. No one will embarrass you. There'll be a man back there to deal with you if you're a man, a lady if you're a lady. We'll be glad to take you to a private room, a private office. And if you say, I just need to pray with somebody, maybe it's not even about parenting. I just need some wisdom. I need someone to pray with me about some things I'm going through. I need some questions. We have some people that can help you. As our piano begins to play right now softly, God's worked in your heart, gentlemen, especially. If you're not saved, would you trust Christ? Maybe you're a dad and you are saved, but you've never sold out to Him. You've never sold out to Him. He doesn't have first place. Impossible. First place means He rules and reigns. Every decision is filtered through Him and His Word. He gets the last word. If He's not Lord of everything, He's not Lord of anything. Maybe you're a dad and you're a good dad and you love your kids and you want to do better. The reason you're struggling is you've never gone all out for God. Work is first. Hobbies are first. Whatever's first. I have no idea. Would you be willing to surrender that to God today and trust Him and say, God, my wife, my children, my everything I have, my health is Yours. You could take it away in a minute. I surrender it to You, Lord. I want You to be first. Help me to be the father I need to be. And for all of our dads, we've all failed. Maybe you just need right now in the pew to say, God, forgive me. I've messed up a bunch and I sort of stopped parenting because I just didn't think I did a good job. I left Mom do it. I felt Mom can do it. My kids don't relate to me anymore. That's not true. That's not true at all. Would you maybe renew some vows? God, I need to be the parent You want me to be, the dad. It's not too late. Well, my kids are out of the house, Pastor. They're on their own. I mean, how much influence do I have on them? A lot. A lot. Never quit. Never give up. Be the father God wants you to be. I'm going to ask Shane just to come and sing one stanza, just one stanza, and then he'll conclude in prayer. If God's worked in your heart, you want to come to the front. You want to pray for a child, a son. You want to go to the back. You want to come speak with me. I'm available. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just one stanza. Do business with God.
Families all around us.
We're here to help you.
Are crumbling every day.
Give it to the Lord right now.
Yielding to the enemy and throwing.
Maybe there's some young people that need to go to Mom and Dad and get some things right.
Bind our lives together. Guard us with Your truth. When the struggle seems too great, Lord, keep our eyes on You. Lord, bless our home, protect our home. Let it be a refuge in this world of sin. Lord, reign within. Keep us strong and true. And when we need You most, Lord, draw us close, committed to each other. Lord, bless our home. We give our home to You.
Our Heavenly Father, O Lord, we do thank You that You saved us from sin. Lord, You called us to follow You. Lord, you called us to take the heart of a father, to exhort, to comfort, to charge. Lord, these are not things only for the father of a home, but as the Apostle Paul, those who minister unto others and bring them along in the faith. But Lord, especially, it is true in the home as well. So Lord, we pray that you would help us to be the fathers, the men that you called us to be. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.